It is Saturday, January 21st, 2017. Welcome to your Age of Darkness podcast, Weekly Briefing. As usual, perfect. I'm your host, JP, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Mark.
And this is our little mini show. We're going to try this, where we try to talk about what's new from Forge World, Black Library, and Games Workshop, and whatever else, third-party stuff, and try to do it while it's still news.
That's a good idea. It's a very good idea. We've actually been trying to do this for a few weeks, but nothing much has been coming out.
Yeah, I know. We made a big deal about starting this at the beginning of January, first weekend of January, but there's just been nothing out that of any relevance. So, important caveat for your weekly briefing. If there's no news, we're not going to do one. I think that's fair, Mark.
Yeah, I know. We were talking last weekend, like, oh, is there anything new? I'm like, yeah, there's some Gundabad ogres we could talk about.
Hey, those are they're lovely ogres.
They are. They're nice models, too.
Yeah, for sure. If you're into that kind of stuff. But anyways, so this is going to be your weekly briefing. Let's just jump into it. Mark, what is new today from... start wherever you want.
Okay, well, let's start with the Black Library angle. We've got Magnus the Red, Master of Prospero, coming out. So it's a heresy book about Magnus and stuff going on with him and the Iron Warriors, actually.
I know! I'm super excited.
You're doubly blessed, right?
Yeah. So this is by Graham McNeil. I will read a little blurb. Fighting in the Great Crusade besides a staunchly anti-mystical brother, Perturabo, the psychic Primarch Magnus and his legion of knowledge seekers must walk a fine line between their mission and their own desire to learn forbidden secrets.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. That seems really interesting.
It does sound pretty cool.
What's crazy, did you find that like these books are starting to come out a lot faster now? Because
yeah,
Lehman Russ, when did the Lehman Russ book come out?
Was that around Christmas?
I think it was in December, at least. It was part of that big wave of stuff that came out around November, December, supporting all the Prospero stuff that was happening in 30K and 40K. You know, everything came out all at once, except for book 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're coming out a lot faster, and the Perturabo book is going to be coming out in April, I believe.
In April, eh? Okay, that's cool. Very cool.
Because that'll be book 4, it'll be the Perturabo book. So we had one come out last summer, that was the Gulliman book, and then nothing for a few months, and now you have Magnus. So you have Lehman Russ, then you have Magnus, appropriately, and you're going to have Perturabo coming out in like April, which is just amazing. But I'm so fascinated by this friendship between Magnus the Red and Perturabo. Usually, you wouldn't have think that they're such good friends, but since they're both seekers of knowledge, Magnus being a seeker of arcane knowledge, Perturabo being more a seeker of, I don't know, engineering knowledge or whatever, you know, he's really fascinated by the Firenze, the Leonardo da Vinci, the Firenze polymath, which is Da Vinci. I mean, Firenze is another name for Florence. Da Vinci's Florence. It's clearly Da Vinci that he's fascinated with. It's this really weird friendship that I hope, I guess they're going to start explaining a little bit, because it shows up in Angel Exterminatus kind of out of nowhere.
Really? I don't remember that.
Yes, in Angel Exterminatus, he talks about how he spent weeks with Magnus on Terra.
Oh, that's right, eh?
Yeah. Magnus is everybody's best friend in this series.
What about Russ?
Everybody but Russ. And possibly Gulliman, because I don't think he has any friends.
No.
Or Doran. Doran probably doesn't have any friends either. Everybody fucking hates him. Magnus is Lorgar's best friend. He's the Khan's best friend. He's Perturabo's best friend. He's everybody's best friend. Everybody loves Magnus, again, with a few exceptions that we know very well. But Mark, what can you tell us about this book, besides the fact that it is about him and Perturabo? Well, maybe him.
Well, right now it's limited edition, and it's $80.
$80 or £40. That's bullshit. The pound is not worth $2 Canadian anymore.
No.
It's at 165 right now, eh? Ever since the news came out that's going to be the hard Brexit?
Yeah, actually, it's 163.
Oh, boy. I remember right it was like 225 for a while before some shit happened last summer. But yeah, adjust your prices, Black Library. But what can you tell us about this?
I'm not sure what you want to know about this.
Is there any other information that we haven't mentioned before besides the fact that it's out in a special edition, super fancy, faux leather? I love this leather effect. Leather effect vinyl.
What, they didn't want to get real leather?
No, they just didn't want to piss off the vegan community.
Do they read a lot of heresy?
I'm sure they do. There's no vegan people are like anybody else. My brother's a vegan. I mean, just like normal people that don't want to buy books with real leather. It's cheaper. It's just cheaper.
So you're saying this probably isn't worth $80?
Well, if it was real leather, it'd probably be $90.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, this is, I don't know, it looks really interesting. Do you think these books are just going to be set up?
Probably, yeah.
Because I haven't read the Gulliman or Rust books yet, but I feel that they're just set. Perhaps we shouldn't get too much into it, since we were very clear that we have not read the first two books.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they're good stories, right?
I'm sure they are. But yeah, if you guys are fans of Magnus, this is Graham McNeil too. I mean, the most consistent author probably coming out of Black Library. I mean, and he's the one that really created or defined. They say they defined it, but anyways. So this should be really interesting. If you're a fan of Magnus, definitely check this out. I actually will definitely be buying this because I'm very interested, especially considering there's going to be some stuff about my boy Perarabo.
Definitely, you should be excited for that, man.
And on a side note, the Lehman Russ book, too, is now out in a regular, normal edition.
Oh, very cool. I'll have to pick that up at some point.
Yeah, that's by Chris Wright. But I think we already talked about the Lehman Russ book, so we don't need to get that into that one too much.
Yeah. Do you want to jump onto the other new book?
Okay, shoot.
Book 42, Garrow.
Book 42, Garrow.
Yeah, it's basically all the Garrow stories in one.
Yep.
So it's not really a new book.
Well, no, there is a new novella inside. It is called
Vow of Faith.
Yeah, Vow of Faith. That's not new. You're right. No, none of this is new.
I guess it's just a way for everybody to get caught up with the Garrow story, since a lot of it's audio drama.
Yeah, but I was. The thing about these is that they're not. It's because most of these are going to be the Garrow audio dramas, right?
Yeah.
Okay, which ones do we have in here?
Let's see. We have Oath of Moment, Legend of One. Or sorry, Legion of One. Duh. Sword of Truth, Shield of Lies, Burden of Duty, Ashes of Fealty, and Vow of Fate.
So you got pretty much all of the Garrow audio dramas, but from what I understand, they're not. It's not just like the scripts, for example. It's not just it's a novelization. Essentially, Swallow. This is by James Swallow, by the way. All these stories. Gary is Battle Captain Gary is Swallow's character principally. I mean, he introduced him mainly in Flight of the Eisenstein, and he's sort of been allowed to run with him since. And apparently he's done a novelization of the stories that he wrote. I'm hoping it sort of updates them slightly, because a lot of the very old... Because the Garrow, I think fucking Oath of Moment came out in like 2010 or something. It's one of the first audio dramas they did.
Yeah, it's pretty old.
Yeah, it's an old story, so I'm hoping they adjust it a little bit. Because remember there's defilers in that story?
Oh, that's right, eh? Yeah.
I don't know if they might... No, you know what? There's no reason to edit that out. There's probably defilers somewhere around. But I'm hoping they cleaned it up a little bit. And yeah, Swallow did like a novelization of these stories. And I think it's a good thing. As much as I'm not a fan of Garrow as a character, our good friend Gary, remember like we had like a stable of like we mispronounced a bunch of characters for a while and we just ran with it, like Ferris Manu. Oh, that was Sean though. That was Sean from Seize the Initiative that wrote an email that said like Ferris. He left out the S, so we just went with Ferris Manu for a while until that joke ran its course. So we had Bobby G, which is Gulliman. We had Battle Captain Gary. I think there's a couple more in there. Just mispronunciations.
Probably a few.
Yeah. These are important stories, I guess. Again, I'm not a fan of this character, but like, I'm really glad they've been collected into a main story, like in the main book series.
Yeah, that's definitely a bonus too, because I just haven't really wanted to listen to or, you know, read any of the other things about Garrow, but I guess maybe at this point I will, because there's probably something or some things that are very important that happened in that book.
Well, yeah. This is still an important thing that's going on, this war, the Shadow War, the War of the Knights Errant. I mean, these are important stories.
I honestly wish we got more of that perspective from the traitor side, to be honest.
What do you mean?
Almost like a counterpart to Garrow, like his opposite.
Yeah. You
know, people actually working for the War Master, because Garrow, I don't like the character. I find him very boring.
Well, he's straight arrow Garrow.
He's you know, I'm super awesome space marine, blah blah blah. Like, I don't care.
Well, you said it. You don't like the James Bond character, right?
No, and especially not in Power Armor.
You like him when he's a religious fanatic?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's like fucking Taliban Bond is who fucking Garrow is.
Nice.
Garrow, no, I agree with you on Garrow, but a lot of people do like this character. It's not a bad character, and it's not because of what Swallow does with him, because James Swallow is one of my favorite authors in the Black Library series. It's just the character himself doesn't speak to me. And as much as I like the Cloak and Dagger stuff, but you mentioned that you wish that was like the traitor side, but wasn't that what Nemesis was about?
That's one like little Spear? Story. And that wasn't even the main part of the story.
That was pretty. Spear was a pretty big part of that story. He was the Nemesis in Nemesis.
No, I get that. It's just there wasn't enough. There's not enough of that stuff from the traitors.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless Horace doesn't like to do this sort of thing.
But he does say specifically in Nemesis that he doesn't like doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So we should get.
If we're gonna win this war, we're gonna do it. Like, you can't just assassinate the Emperor. I'm gonna deal with him. I'm the one that's gonna go into the my father's palace, and I will kill him myself. And he will know my name is the Lord. I don't know. I like this. I'm gonna read it now too, because I can't not read what's in the main novel series.
Yeah.
But yeah, Garrow doesn't speak to me. But you know what? I think it's still going to be very interesting. Maybe I should read this little thing. From out of the shadows of the Silent War, a hero emerges. Clad all in gray, an errant warrior of the Legionis Astartes kneels before the Regent of Terra and accepts a solemn new duty. Battle Captain Gary, once commander of the Eisenstein, now Argentia Primus of Malkador the Sigillite. From the desolation of Istvan to the halls of the Imperial Palace itself, he stands as a paragon of loyalty and protector of the innocent, ever ready to strike back at the traitorous allies of the War Master. But Gary was walking a path of his own, one that may lead him to question his own place in the Imperium. And what if he, too, should falter?
Is that accurate?
He's not gonna falter. What do you mean?
Is that accurate? He's a protector of the innocent?
I think so, yeah.
Well, come on. He goes to Calf and gets one ultramarine.
We already talked about this. He likes to put his feet up. No, I agree. Remember, we talked about this. The big problem with when we talked about Oath of Moment is that, you know, he goes with a Thunderhawk to Kelth, and then he like only saves one guy. It's like how many Marines can you fit in a Thunderhawk?
30.
30. That's in sort of like combat formation, like comfortably. If you really needed to fill it up, how many do you think you could fit?
No, 50, 60 probably.
50, 60. Saves one guy. It's like you couldn't take in that guy too. It's like no, I'm here for Rubio.
Yeah.
But there's two seats. I like to put my feet up.
Yeah. Oh, imagine, too, all those Ultramarines that turned their back on Rubio probably felt like such dicks, like, you know, hours later when Gulliman said it was okay to use Librarians again.
Yeah, I know. Bad timing, eh?
They're like, fuck.
You probably should have been nicer to Rubio. Maybe Garrow would have fucking taken us.
Yeah.
And now we're stuck here. Well, maybe the Primarch will save us. No, Primarch's gone. He's chasing Corferon.
Oh, boy.
Fucking Garrow. What an asshole. He really could have filled up that Thunderhawk.
Yeah.
Anyways. So that's going to be book 42 in the series. Once again, these I'm so glad Black Library is like is moving forward. I'm hoping 2017. I don't think 2017 is going to be as good of a year as 2016 because we got like six or seven books in 2016. I have difficulty believing that Black Library is going to keep up that pace. I hope they do, but you know what? We had a banner year in 2016. 2017, they can slack off and I won't be pissed. But already this is looking good. I mean, this has just been released. Yeah, it's available. It's available now. And yeah, if you're down with Garrow and you want to keep up with the main book series, book 42, Garrow, Weapon of Fate.
Woohoo! And we got some quick reads as well, too. We got The Last Son of Prospero about, a Thousand Sun guy who's suffering from the flesh change. And he needs Malkador's help.
Cool. So who's this by?
Chris Wright.
Awesome. So yeah, I guess this is after Prospero. I might as well do this. The Thousand Sun sorcerer Revuel Arvida guided his White Scar's kinsmen through all the horrors of the Runestorm, even though the psychic exertion almost killed him. Now on Terra, he clings to life by the merest thread, his body ravaged by the curse of his legion, the insidious Flesh Change. The Primarch Jagatai Khan demands that Arvida be saved, no matter the cost. But even if such a thing were possible, what remained of his mind and soul?
Ooh.
Is that the guy that he's in Scars, isn't he?
Scars, or I think he's in Path to Heaven, actually.
Oh, okay. I think he's in Scars. Revuel Arvida. I know that name, and I haven't read Path of Heaven, so I'm assuming I know him from Scars.
Was he the dude they met on Prospero?
I think so. Like, the last Thousand Sun?
Yeah, yeah. Ooh,
yeah, the guy was losing his mind at the end of Scars?
Yeah.
But yeah, this looks like a really interesting little story. This is a short story. Nice and cheap. Buy for sure. I will be doing that.
All right, we got another quick read, too. Exitosis?
Exocytosis.
Exocytosis, okay. That sounds pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. I think that's a real word. I think James Swallow's trying to win at Scrabble.
That could be pretty hefty points.
That's a solid amount of points. Exocytosis is a process by which a cell transports secretory products through the cytoplasm of the plasma membrane. Secretory products are packaged into transport vehicles, membrane-bound spheres.
I don't know if you just added to this book or if you just killed it for me.
No, it's the way water-soluble molecules such as proteins are secreted into the extracellular environment.
Oh, cool. What does this have to do with typhus, then?
I don't know.
Typhon.
I said something about mucus or secretory products through cytoplasm of the plasma membrane. I don't know. I think the thought process here might be it's like... Well, we're talking about Nurgle. Talking about the Death Guard. What's a fancy term? Exocytosis. I think you could tell. Wait, you work for a scientific company.
I do. I'm not a scientist, though.
Okay. But you could definitely point me to the right petri dish to study exocytosis.
I could show you the different types that we have, but I wouldn't know which one is the best.
Anyways, exocytosis. Having long been hounded across the galaxy by the Dark Angels, First Captain Typhon of the Death Guard has limped his fleet to Sanctuary in Segmentum Obscurus, as a guest of the Separatist Luther of Caliban, no less. On the world of Zeramond, long a symbol of brotherhood amongst the legions, Typhon begins to suspect that a new form of corruption has followed him out of the wider war. Will he embrace it, or escape into the darkness once more?
I think we know the answer.
I think he's going to embrace it, yeah.
Yeah.
What's he doing with your boy Luther?
Read Angels of Caliban.
I'm going to get to it.
You better get to that book, man. It's fucking great.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to get to it. But, like, okay, there's something going on with Luther and Typhon?
Yeah.
Has this been going on for a while?
Let's just say that pre-heresy, they were buddies.
Again, because Typhon was also buddies with Malagurst and with Erebus.
Yep.
They had this little cabal, if you will.
Yeah.
Interesting. So this leads from Angels of Caliban, as we were saying.
Yeah, this is right. This is basically right after the ending of Angels of Caliban.
And also that other story, right? That other short story that leads into Angels of Caliban?
By the Lion's Command?
Yeah. Because that's about Zeramund, right?
Yeah, that's what's happening basically before this, where the Death Guard are getting their asses handed to them.
Okay, so if you were to follow the storyline, By the Lion's Command, Angels of Caliban, and then Exocytosis.
Yeah.
Interesting. I fucking gotta read this one. I guess I gotta wait till after I read Angels of Caliban. I'm a little behind, as everybody knows.
Gotta catch up, man. Gotta catch up.
That's really interesting. Are you gonna buy this one?
Probably, yeah.
I think you should, since you like it so much. Angels of Caliban.
It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, cool. Anything else from Black Library?
No, I think that's it.
What about this audiobook?
Oh, are you talking about
Virtues of the Son, Sins of the Father? No, this is a few weeks old.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that is your Black Library roundup for this week, or a little bit more than a week, since we didn't do one last week. What else you got for us?
Well, moving on to Forge World itself, we've got a bunch of Custode stuff that came out. And this makes me happy and sad.
I know. Why don't you explain why you're happy and sad?
Well, because I was going to do a Forge World order at the beginning of January. So I held off a week because, you know, all these pictures of Custode stuff came out. I'm like, okay, I'll just wait. You know, it'll be out. Then I decided to order last weekend because the pictures of the assault cannons and, like, storm shields came out. So I'm like, oh, well, that's probably going to be out this week. So I'll just order now. And we get to this weekend and all this Custode shit just came out.
Yeah. Oh, you need to hold off another week.
Well, I already ordered, so there's nothing I can do about
it now.
Well,
you still had a pretty big order. You ordered the Grav tanks, right?
Yeah, Grav tanks and Deckle sheets and more Valdor gold.
Interesting. Okay, so Mark, as you are the resident Custodes expert / fan, or fan / expert, whichever you choose, tell us what was released for the Empress Praetorians and what your thoughts are on their subject.
All right, well, we got the Legio Custodes Palace Grav Tank. Sorry, is that Grav Attack Tank? Mine's cutting off here.
What's cutting off?
Oh, no, it's Legio Custodes Palace Grav Attack. That doesn't make any sense. Shouldn't there be another word in there?
Well, what do you... Palace Grav Attack and Contemptor Gladius Dreadnought.
Yeah.
I think there might be another word. I think you're going to have to actually go into the new stuff. Part of the Forge World website.
I'm already there, man.
Oh, shit. It does say just Grav Attack.
That's pretty cool.
Palace Grav Attack. There definitely feels like it's missing a word there.
Yeah, I think there's a word.
I didn't even notice that. You're totally right. I didn't even notice.
Well, yeah, my head just put, you know, Grav Attack Tank at the end of it, because that's what I thought it was. But
it's obviously not a tank. Okay, what is this thing? Explain what this thing is.
It's basically the Custode's version of a land speeder / javelin speeder, except it's bigger than a rhino.
Is it bigger than a rhino?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that!
Yeah, it's like a... I don't know. This thing definitely is pretty cool. Personal opinion, though, maybe this thing is going to be good because they didn't release any rules with it. They said, you know, just wait 2 weeks and you have your rules, so a little annoying. They could have just thrown something out for us. But it reminds me of an armored pod racer from episode 1.
Yeah, you're right, eh?
I don't know. This model, this could be fucking an amazing thing in the game, but I don't think I'm going to get any because I just can't stand the look of the model.
Admittedly, though, the pod race was one of the good parts of the prequel trilogy.
Oh, vomit. Oh, God.
Oh, no, just cut out the kid. Cut out Anakin. And the actual, like, race itself, like, I remember it was a lot of fun.
No.
I even bought, like, I remember in 1999, I bought, like, there was a PC game for, like, pod racing. It was a pod racing PC game.
Oh, God,
I played Sebulba.
That sounds awful.
I remember it being fun. I think it was a well-made game, if I remember correctly. Of course, this was, oh, God, almost 18 years ago. Dude, man, episode 1 came out almost 2 decades ago. Fucking wrap your fucking head around that butt.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I know! Can we believe we went to see that movie 7 times?
Yeah.
Anyways, it does look like an episode 1 pod racer, but I don't see that necessarily as a negative thing. I think the design on the episode 1 pod racers was pretty good. That wasn't the problem with the movie.
No.
Can we agree on that? I think it's really, it looks like it's armed with like a, I guess a last cannon? What is that? No, it's not a last cannon.
It's got the twin-linked Arachnus Blaze Cannon.
It's a blaze cannon.
Yeah, which is good at killing infantry and armored targets. That's exactly what it says.
Yeah, I know. I see that. So we don't know what this thing does, though.
No, but it's going to be good against infantry and armored targets. Better be high strength or armor bane or something like that.
Well, yeah, but it could just be a last cannon. That would be good against both infantry and armored targets.
It could be, but I don't know. They call it a blaze cannon, so...
Maybe something like with lance?
Could be, yeah. Could be like a four-shot twin link, like strength 7, AP 2 lance or something.
Yeah. Anyways, this is the news. This isn't the speculation. We don't know what this thing does yet, but we will know in a couple weeks.
No, apparently it's, you know, heavily armored, and it's going to have, I believe it's going to have flare shields as well.
But you're not a fan?
No, I just don't like it. I'm not a fan of this model.
You know what? That's okay. You don't have to be. I know you're a fan of the next one.
Oh, let's see. What is this one called? Did they cut this one off anywhere? The Legio Custodes Contemptor Gladius Dreadnought.
It is not a Gladius Dreadnought.
Oh, Galactus Dreadnought.
It's a Galactus Dreadnought. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Galactus. It is a Galactus Dreadnought.
So it's basically a Gladiator Dreadnought.
Is it, though? It's got a shield and everything. Okay, tell us about this thing.
We got to see some previews of this a few weeks ago. It's got a giant custode sword and a shield. And who doesn't want their dreadnought to have a giant sword and shield, man? That's awesome.
Admittedly, no one.
No one wants that?
No, admittedly, no one doesn't want that.
That's true. People love the Space Wolf one where you could have the giant axe and a storm shield in the other hand.
You mean like a murder axe and a murder shield?
Basically, yeah. I think you're accurate on the names.
Oh, G-Dub.
Well, it's either Murder Axe and Murder Shield.
Or Frost. Or Frost Shield. Yeah.
Frost Axe, yeah.
I love the direction Forge World's going. This thing is fucking awesome. Now, apparently, from what I understand from the rules, because we've had... There's rumors about what the rules are going to be in Book 7. It's coming out in a few weeks. I don't think our goal is to go into too many rumors and speculations.
No.
It's really about briefing you on what's out and what to spend your money on.
Yeah, I definitely want to pick one of these up. Even if it isn't good, it just looks fucking
cool.
No, but
apparently it's better than a regular Contemptor, but not like game-breaking good. But it is better than a regular Contemptor.
Yeah, I imagine it'll have some better statistics in it. It'll be a lot harder to kill because of that shield.
I think it's got a Melta gun attached to its sword.
What is it called? It's called the Twin-Linked Infernus Incinerator.
Oh, that's sexy.
Maybe it's a Strength 6 AP 3 Heavy Flamer.
Maybe. I know, this thing's pretty awesome. And you're a fan as a Custodes expert?
Sure, yeah, that definitely.
Wicked. Yeah, I think this thing's pretty fucking awesome. And yeah, apparently better than a Contemptor, but not like game-breaking good, but it is their version of Contemptor.
Yeah. Yeah, so what else did... I guess they just have some bundles here. They've got the Palace Grav Attack Squadron, where, you know, saves you two extra clicks and no money.
Oh, it doesn't save you any money?
No. It's 180 pounds, and they're 60 pounds normally, so just saves you... Literally two clicks.
Why do they do that? Why?
Time is valuable, man.
Take 5 pounds off.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. I don't get that, and I never will. Why they make the bundle deals that don't save you any money.
Yeah, 5 pounds, I might buy it, but I don't know. Just I don't like them, man. They don't look too cool to me.
No, you don't have to like them.
Oh, and we got the Custodes Collection, where you get one of everything.
You're right, eh? That's cool.
I think
you get free shipping because it's exactly 250 pounds.
Yeah, I think it actually saves you 2 pounds or something.
Well, 2 pounds is 2 pounds.
Yeah.
That's about $3. That's a beer.
Yeah, definitely, man. Or, well, could you get cheaper beer?
Not really.
No?
Well, $3. I mean, if you go to the grocery store, I mean, you could probably get two beers, two like cans or something like that, two cans of Busch Ice or some shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're not getting a pint for that, but you know. So that's a good collection. No, this is all good stuff. Okay. I know we just said we weren't going to speculate, but I still want to hear your opinion on this. How big do you think the Custodes line is going to be? Because now all the stuff that's been previewed is now out, which is interesting.
Well, let's see. One thing they have that's been, or two things actually that have been previewed are not out. They don't have the Contemptor that has the spear. That's not out yet. And the transport as well.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're missing one big thing for this to be an army.
HQ?
HQ. But once the HQ's out, they're going to have troops. They're going to have two troop selections in plastic, no less. They're going to have a fast attack selection, a heavy support selection. They're going to have a dedicated transport, a Contemptor that's going to fall in elites, and obviously they're going to have an HQ. Hopefully, Constantine Valdor will be available. You're going to have a full army.
Yeah, definitely. Well, remember, too, that both the plastic squads, only one of them is a troop choice. The Sentinel Guard are an elite's choice.
Okay, but still, you will have a full Custodes army. I never thought they were going to do a full Custodes army. I thought that they were just going to be things that you can ally into your Astartes.
Yeah, I think besides what they have here and what we've seen with the transport, I think the only things they're really missing are the Grav Spartans. They're missing the guys on jet bikes, the Terminators.
Are they really going to do Grav Spartans?
Apparently, they're seen in Master of Mankind.
Oh, God. I think they should start with the Grav Land Raider and then eventually move on to the Grav Spartan.
Maybe they don't have Grav Land Raiders. Maybe they just have Grav Spartans.
Maybe. But yeah, this is going to be a full line, and they're definitely going to be a Terminator version.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be as an extensive list as the Legions, but it's going to be more along the lines of Solar Auxilia and Militia.
Yeah, well, not Militia. Militia doesn't actually have any models.
That's true, actually.
Which is the best part about the Militia list, is that Forger is literally telling you, do what you want!
Yeah. I'm interested to see the upgrades they make for, like, the Companions and troops like that.
Companions?
You know how most of the pictures you see the guys wearing the red cloaks? Yep. And the armor? Those are the Companions.
Oh, okay.
They're the guys who have, like, the cloaking technology.
Cloaking technology?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I thought that only the false Emperor on 6319 had Praetorians with cloaking technology.
Ah, he does too.
No wonder there was confusion.
Yeah.
But, no, this is great. It's going to be a full line. So this is going to be the second full line that was released, that will have been released. Before Iron Havocs or Tyrant Terminators.
No one needs those.
I was still bitter we got Dark Angel shoulder pads before we got Iron Havocs.
Yeah,
but anyways, I'm not bitter or anything. It's not bitterness.
You wouldn't buy them anyway. Come on.
I wouldn't buy them. You fucking kidding?
You don't even have any Iron Circle yet. Come on.
I don't need Iron Circle. I need Havocs.
Come on, get some Iron Circle, man.
They're overcosted, bud. You can't. They're not effective. I mean, they're beautiful models, and I want to get some for sure. But they're not. They're not that great.
They're pretty cool, man.
they're pretty cool. Okay, they're pretty cool. I'll get some. Okay. If it'll make you happy, I'll get some.
Cool.
And then they can fight your Legio Custodes Contemptor Gallatas Dreadnought.
Sounds like a plan.
You should have just waited a week, man.
I know. I should have just waited a week. God damn it.
Oh, well. Next time, you can get all this beautiful stuff. And you'll have Grav Tanks. How many Grav Tanks did you order?
Three.
You ordered three?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm not looking forward to fighting your army.
Those yeah, my heavy support is filled. But if they get Grav Spartans and other heavy support, well, then I'll have some sitting on the sidelines.
Or you could run Onslaught.
I could.
You could. Other question. I wonder, okay, you could always use the alternate force organizations, right, with Custodes? But they're not going to have rights of war.
I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah. But you could always use, for example, Onslaught and Leviathan and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. No, this is a really cool army.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so anything else new that we need to talk about?
No, man. That's everything.
Perfect. So that was our first weekly briefing for January 21st, 2017. Still getting used to that. Once again, we'll keep putting these like quick mini shows out every week. and hopefully keep everybody updated as to what's going on in the 30K world. And once again, if there's no news, we're probably not going to do one. So,
sounds good.
Most weeks during the weekend, this is going to pop up on your RSS feed. Sometimes it won't. Wish I could be more, it's like, we're going to do them every week, that we realize there's like nothing to talk about. Anyways. So that was the first weekly briefing. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes, follow us on SoundCloud, check us out on Stitcher, check us out on Google Play Music, send us an email at ageofdarknesspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like all this stuff, consider supporting us on Patreon. I should have done that at the beginning, but I'm doing it at the end now.
That's fine. Totally fine.
All right, cool. So that was your weekly briefing. As usual, I'm JP.
And I'm Mark.
And thanks for listening.